Our scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Our passage this morning begins with, therefore, be imitators of God. Usually when you see the word therefore, usually the Apostle Paul is saying, based upon everything as I've said before, now let's consider all of these new things I'm going to present to you. He says, be imitators of God. That word there, imitators, is similar to our word mimic. It could be translated to be an imitator, to be followers, to be like. Often you'll see that in the New Testament. There are numerous ways to translate it, and you'll see it in the various versions of the Bible, translations of Ephesians when you see that. Don't be concerned. The different meanings are part of what that word is all about. A lot of people become quickly upset because you have a different version that's using this translation or using this word as a different word. Well, no, this enriches us. As we study the original languages in Greek and Hebrew, we find that our own language is enriched. And so the word there in Greek does refer to imitators or to be followers or to be like, if you will. We actually get the word mimic from this word, to be imitators of God. Now, on the face of it, just the concept of being an imitator of God may have sounded strange to many people in Greek society. Remember that Greek religion, I spent a number of years working on a PhD, and one of my concentrations was in ancient Greek history. And one of the things that we learned about the Greeks and their approach to the gods was that the gods were not necessarily very friendly to the people. They would bring their offerings, but their offerings, it was very uncertain whether their offerings would be accepted or not. They would bring them in the hopes of either appeasing the god in some way, or maybe, hopefully, the god or goddess would have some sort of recognition of them. But there was very little confidence in that. As a matter of fact, the gods tended to be more like people than people were like the gods. And often the gods could be terribly cruel, as in the case of the Iliad, where the Greeks and the Trojans are fighting on the battlefield, and you have the various gods and goddesses tripping them up along the way. And the most terrible tragedy was Ajax, the great warrior, number two under Achilles, who was struck by one of the gods with insanity. To the Greeks, to say to be imitators of God, I think may have been somewhat of a very strange concept, to be like God. Because in reality, the gods were more like people, and they were more capricious than people. So to be like the gods may actually be worse of an example to live by. We might think of other religions like Islam. Islam has a concept of God as some sort of suzerain king who says, you believe these things and you do these things, and that's what you will do, and you will submit to the will of Allah. And so it's a cruel submission. Well, the Bible is different when it talks about submission, doesn't it? It talks about submission in the realm of God's covenant love, this special relationship that we have with God. And so in this passage, it says to be imitators of God. But the Bible tells us that God is very different from us, isn't he? In our child's catechism, we learn God is a spirit and has not a body like men. What is God? God is a spirit and has not a body like men. God is different from me. God is not encumbered by walls. I am. As I discovered this morning when I pushed the button to go through the door of the library, I just barely missed it as I came in because it didn't open. Just about proving that Newton's law is right, two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. But God is all-powerful, as the Bible tells us. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. He can do all his holy will. as the confession says. But I'm not like that. I get up each morning, I feel the restrictions of my body. I look in the mirror and I say, who is that guy? Where did that young man go to? He's not the same person. I'm constantly changing. My body is getting weaker every day. I get out of bed and I say, what is that? I am struggling with the realities of aging. Those of you that are 20 don't know about that, but you will. It's the reality of being in this world, and my body is eventually going to fail. I'm not like God. God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's all-powerful, and he's everywhere present, the Bible tells us. And he's omniscient. He knows everything. And I'm not like God. It's easy for me to forget things, and I do it every day. In another way, God is holy, the Bible tells us. I'm not holy. God is infinitely holy. There's no sin. There's absolute perfection in him. No one can stand in his presence because of his holiness. And so I'm not like God. And so when Paul says, be imitators of God, it raises a lot of questions, doesn't it? Well, it goes on to say here, as beloved children. You know, the interesting things here, some of the passages say, be followers of God as beloved children. You get a picture of a parent, a mother, his father, walking along with the children following behind. Children naturally follow the example of their parents, especially when they're very, very young. My wife had to pull me aside one day and say, hey, watch out what you say, because the children are listening. They pick up on it. You know, and I had to sort of shake myself. Okay, in this context, I need to be careful. I need to set the right example when I was young. God says, be imitators of God as beloved children. He goes on to say, and he uses this word, walk, and walk in love. Walk in love. Walking. Sometimes the Apostle Paul uses the word walk, and sometimes he uses the word run. The word run, when the Apostle Paul uses it, means striving towards the goal with all your might to the high calling of God, striving with all of your strength. And then there's walking. Walking and running have different roles. I like to run. I don't run as well as I used to. Years ago, I used to run in some of these sort of mini marathons. When my oldest son was born, Jeremy, he was born in 1978, I decided to run in the Gasparilla Distance Classic. And it was, I think it was a 15K or something. It was in Florida, Tampa, Florida. They hold it every year in February. And it had been very cold in February. And so we showed up for the race, and on that very day, it was about 90 degrees for the first time. There were 10,000 people there. And so I began the race. I'm running along. And if any of you have been into running, running plays a psychological trick on you, because the further you go, you begin to get these thoughts in your mind, I feel awful. I need to stop. And that's what I began to get. I began to get those feelings. I need to quit. I feel awful. And I looked over my shoulder, and some 15-year-old girl passed me by. And I said, well, I can't stop now. I got to keep going. This is humiliating. So I ran a little further. About halfway, the heat was just unbearable. I didn't think I could go further. And it was bearing down on us, and I began to get those thoughts again. I'm going to quit. I just cannot go forward. And I looked over my shoulder, and there was an old man. He looked like he was about 90 years old. And he passed me. And it looked like I'm assuming he had his wife with him, because she was about as old as he was, and they passed me by. Finally, we're coming to the end, the finish line. And some of these races, they really do them up nice. We're coming to the finish. I'm thinking, I am so exhausted. But they had a band at the very end playing the theme from Rocky. Dun, 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 dun. And the pace picked up. And we're all moving to try to reach the finish line. And we're striving with all of our strength. And then I noticed around me, people were cheering. And the cheering was rising up from the ground. And it's like, they're cheering for me. And I looked over my shoulder and a little, looked like a 7-year-old boy passed me by. Well, running is trying to reach forward, to striving with all of your strength to get to the prize. But you can't run like that every day. And so Paul often speaks about walking. Often it's referred to as our daily conversation. You can go further walking than you can running. If somebody asked me to run 20 miles today, I couldn't do it. But I could walk 20 miles. It wouldn't be easy, but I could do it. There's an old story about Indians, American Indians, that when horses first arrived in America, that the Indians, in order to catch a horse, would begin walking after the horse. They discovered if they ran after the horse could easily outrun them. And what they would do is they would slowly walk towards the horse. And as they got close to the horse would run away. And then the Indian would keep walking. All day long, the Indian is walking. The horse, on the other hand, by the end of the day, is absolutely worn out because he's been running. And finally, at the very end of the day, the Indian goes and puts his rope around the neck of the horse, and he brings that horse, that prize horse, back to his home. Walking is very powerful. And so our passage says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave him for us. Our every step, our daily activities, everything that we do should be focused upon Christ. Now, what did Christ do for us? It's interesting here that it quickly moves to Christ. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he came. He was born in a manger, born in the most lowly of places. And then he lived among sinful men, such as you and I, lived among us, reviled. And then he went to the cross, and he died upon the cross. And there, our sins were laid upon Christ. And so Jesus Christ gave his life for us. God gave the Lord Jesus Christ for us as a sacrifice to atone for our sins. And so the Apostle Paul is saying for us to be like Christ. It's interesting to be imitators of God and to be imitators of Christ. Jesus Christ is God. And so he says to be like Christ. You know, this is pretty profound, but how is it that I can live for Christ? How can I be like Christ? How can I follow Christ? How can I follow what he did? He gave the ultimate sacrifice. Am I to make that sacrifice as well? Isn't that not beyond my human ability? What is the Apostle Paul getting at here? I think one way to look at it would be to focus on one little word, and that is the word as. If you'll notice, it says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. As Christ. Little words in the Bible have powerful meaning. So, what does this mean, as Christ? Well, let's look further in Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives. And there's that little word, as. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. The Lord Jesus Christ is the example for husbands to love their wives. How did the Lord Jesus Christ love husbands? He loved husbands because he went to the cross for them. Why should a husband love his wife when she's not very lovable, when she has all kinds of problems, when she sometimes is not very nice? It's not because she's such a great and wonderful person. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ died for that husband. I can love her, not because that she is so great. And it's true, I love her. I love my wife. She's a great person. But ultimately, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. I can love her with all of her faults and all of her problems. We might also look at verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." As to the Lord. There's that connection again. Wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. I know a lot of people in many circles get upset with this idea of submission. But I think it's helpful to keep in mind that submission for husbands is love your wives. Love is submission. What did Christ do? The greatest act of submission of all was to go to the cross and die on the cross. Husbands, there is an act of submission. There's headship, but there's submission. They're both part of the same, sort of the same coin. As to the Lord. The submission is ultimately to the Lord. Why? Because he submitted himself to the cross. He went to the cross and died for you. And so you might say, well, you know, my husband, he's lazy. And he doesn't clean up. And he's not the way he should be. And it's very difficult to love him. Ultimately, you can love him because Christ loved you. Christ loved you because he submitted himself to the cross. What about for the church? Look at verse 21. It says, submitting to one another out of the reverence for Christ. I know it doesn't use the word as there, but I think it's the same meaning. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, I've been a part of many churches in my life, and I have seen lots of infighting, lots of posturing. Often people do not get along. I think it would be healthy for churches to go back and visit this verse, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Why is it that we are there and available and of service to one another, submitting to one another, not because that person in our church is so great and wonderful? They are sinners, and their submission to us is not because we're so wonderful. It is because Jesus Christ has submitted himself to the cross. He went to the cross and died for us. What a difference it would be for churches if they submitted to one another truly because of what Christ did for them. You know, this brings a very good point, that the cross of Christ is not just a message of salvation. It's also a message about Christian living. It's every day living for Christ. Every day. And you will be put to the test to live for Christ. Now, there's a wonderful verse in verse 32 of chapter 4. Remember, the Apostle Paul said in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Therefore..." Well, let's look at verse 32. He says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. As God in Christ forgave you. The language of these words are just absolutely profound. As Christ forgave you. You know, I had an incident that happened to me when I was very young. I started working when I was 15 years old. I sold shoes at a local Belk Lindsay store. I had been working there about a year. One day, the owner of the store showed up, and he told the manager, "We want to have a big sale. Make sure that you put out all the signs. Make sure that you get the shoes set out and displays ready, because I want to have a big display next week." Now, I wasn't there that day, but he told the manager. A week later came. I was there working in the store part-time, as I normally did. The owner shows up, and the owner says to the manager, he says, "Where are the signs? Where are the shoes and the displays?" And so they had a conversation. I'm standing back. And the manager said, "Well, I told Ken to do it, and he didn't do it." So the owner said, "Well, okay, we still have time. Go ahead and get those out and get it going." Well, I was young, and I was not very diplomatic. So I confronted the manager. He was a Christian, and so was the owner. But I confronted the manager and said, "You know, you lied. You didn't tell me to put signs out, to put displays out." And one thing led to another, and there were serious words between us. And he said, "Well, if you don't want to do what you're told to do, you're fired." And I said, "Fine." So I grabbed my coat, and I began to walk towards the car. And I began to mutter under my breath, "I hate that man. I will never forgive that man." And then it, you know, a Christian can't live with that. You just can't. And as I read my Bible and I prayed, I realized I cannot say that, ever how I might feel, ever how I was wronged. Because you see, I'm a sinner. And I've been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross for me. He forgave me of an infinite sin. An infinite sin against an infinitely holy God, deserving infinite wrath. God forgave me. I could forgive too. We didn't see each other for a very, very long time. Later on, we were able to sort of connect once again, and he more or less said that he was sorry that came down the way that it did, and I replied, "I was sorry too." But you see, the work of Christ is a daily thing. It's not just a matter of salvation. It's living for Christ day by day. Walk in love. And so the question for you, what about you this morning? Are you walking in the love of Christ, the one who gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God? Let's pray.